Attention all small biz owners. At the UPS store, you can count on us to handle your packages with care. With our certified packing experts, your packages are properly packed and protected. And with our pack and ship guarantee, when we pack it and ship it, we guarantee it. Because your items arrive safe or you'll be reimbursed. Visit the upsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Come into your local store today.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Level three, this is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. The Pips, the Players, the Hustlers, the people in the bus, them, and everybody else in between. We've got a wild basketball game going on. You got to love college basketball. These big-time teams play each other early in the season like this and say, bring it on. And Kentucky and Kansas. Listen, man, the Kansas Jayhawks were down by double digits. We jumped in on the Jayhawks. We got plus 220. They're up 87-84. They're on the free throw line right now, looking to finish this game off with 3 seconds left. It looks like Kansas is going to come back. They hit the first free throw. They're up 4. This game is all but done right now. 88-84 in the game's final seconds. Man, we hit a plus 275 earlier in the day with our Netflix golf pick. Now we just hit a plus 220. That's how you build a bankroll, by hitting these plus money plays, although I am about to lose an in-game over that I bet, and I put a pretty big play on it. It's kind of like souring me on this. Dear God. 89-84 right now with, like, what, 5 seconds, 4 seconds? I need a miracle three on the way out here. That's what I need. I need a miracle three. It happens every once in a while. That's why, they missed the shot. They took it. They missed it. 89-84. 89-84, Rock Chalk Jayhawk, high-level basketball team. Listen, man, Kansas, it's weird seeing Hunter Dickinson as a Kansas Jayhawk. It just is. Like, it's something, you know, I have a hard time getting used to it. 89-84, final score. So we've got a final score, 89-84, cash it, plus 220, nice. Let's see, it's always nice. Like I said, it's always nice to hit plus money plays. So it's 83-79 right now in San Francisco. Their new arena in San Francisco. They saw it from the outside. I've never been inside before. Shout out to everybody joining us on SiriusXM, Channel 159. This is Sports Rage on the Sports Grid Radio Networks. I am Gabriel Morenci. Big night of college basketball tonight. Duke beat Michigan State. We just had a great game between Kentucky and Kansas, but don't we always every year, basically? You just know it is. And I don't know, it seems like it's too obvious just to bet the overs, but let me look at the number here. I want to get the exact number. And there's still games going on. So these stats will be for, coming into tonight's play, so to speak. But we've just seen a lot of these big time games go over the number. And I was talking about overs hitting at a big-time clip. Now, it was like 57.5%, 57, 58% for like a first couple of days. It's come down right now to 53.6 coming into tonight. The overs, 53.6 as far as totals are concerned. Favorites have done well so far this year. College basketball. And, you think, oh, underdogs. Underdogs are better in pro sports. College sports, there's not as many upsets because, there's a talent difference. I'm not saying there isn't, but there's a talent gap. There's not a big talent gap in sports, right? The difference is coaching for the most part, right? Like, you look at NFL teams, they all pick from the same pool of players. Some teams are idiots. Some teams are not. Some coaches are bad. So you know what I mean? Look at the Raiders. You get rid of Josh McDaniels, suddenly you win a couple of games. Right? It's a fine line. College, it's mismatches. So if you look at college, favorites this year at home. Well, home favorites, 203-186 against the spread, 52%, 53%. So it's starting to take shape a little bit. So we got Hawaii and Hawaii Hilo tipping off right now. This is the definition of the late night degenerate special, but who hasn't done this one before, right? 19.5 points. You're late, 19.5 points. I want to look at like the history of these teams. It's a lot of points to lay. They play basically almost every year. They didn't play last year in 2022. They last played in 2021 before. They basically play a lot, though. 97-67, 89-66. You know, this is one of those, you know, obviously Hawaii are, you know, much better than they are. But, you know, it is 19.5 points. So far, Hilo this year... Let's see. Not a lot of information on these guys. I'm looking at the head-to-head. We got a little head-to-head matchups. I would lay the points or pass. You know what we'll do? We'll play Hawaii in the first half of this game. But we'll focus in on the NBA as well. And speaking of the NBA, I didn't get to this last night. We got our AM radio affiliate stepping up and in. But Adam Silver talked last night about NBA expansion. And you know, everyone knows the NBA is going to Vegas and Seattle is on their radar, but unprovoked and not on Canadian TV, Adam Silver says, yeah, Vancouver, Montreal, Mexico City. They're not going to go to Mexico City. I'll tell you that because the Players Association won't accept it. And there's not an ownership group ready to rock in Vancouver. I think Montreal is getting an NBA team. Let's roll. Level 3. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Omaranci. The pets, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustlers, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. The Twisted Tuesday. So let's start off with some somber news, actually, for our AM radio affiliate in San Diego. Of course, the mightier 1090 ESPN radio, the 50,000-watt juggernaut. San Diego's owner, Pete Seidler, passed away today, 63 years old. He was battling cancer, but many thought that he had, you know, defeated it. So our condolences to the entire club, family, organization. And little known fact, I don't think a lot of people realize, he was actually the grandson to Walter O'Malley, right? A former Dodgers owner. And... man, Seidler did a great job, man, like renewing the rivalry between L.A. and San Diego, spending all the money that he did. And now, like, sort of, it's one of those, well, now that you know, right, now that we know the story, you see why he was so aggressive. It was pretty clear, right? I mean, a very rich man that was trying to win and bring joy to a city and bring a championship to the city before he potentially passed away. And I also, you know, and not, you know, baseball and life are two different things, obviously, but I also wonder moving forward if, like, we'll ever see that type of renaissance with San Diego and that type of money spent. We're already hearing about Juan Soto, you know, being dealt and cash roll. You know, payroll cash issues. So it's a sad day all around. And it also shows that rich or poor, man, right? Tomorrow is promised to no one. It's the one equalizer. Money can't buy time, right? You think it can, and oh, rich people, this, and oh, like, you know, no, right? So appreciate every moment that you have, whether you're rich, poor, in between, whatever situation you're in, because you see, others can't, but RIP and our condolences to the Seidler family. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
SportsGrid.com.
The Twisted Tuesday continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenzi on the Sports Grid Radio and Television Network, Sirius XM Channel 159, Channel Tolliver AM Radio affiliates, including about here 1090, ESPN Radio, the 50,000 watt the juggernaut in the house. And speaking of juggernauts, Rick Saratella has been called that and many other things. The founder of the NFL Draft Bible, allaccessfootball.com. Rick Saratella in the house. Rick, as always, there's a lot of stuff to unpack this week. How you doing, Rick?
Busy time of the year, Gabriel Morenzi. Always happy to be here.
So the Buffalo Bills implosion continues. A heartbreaking, baffling, bemusing loss to the Denver Broncos, in which somehow they have too many men on the field after a missed field goal. You could argue the special teams coach should have been the one to pay the price, but offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey has been replaced and relieved of his duties. Joe Brady takes over. What are your thoughts on the Buffalo Bills coordinator situation, Rick?
Well, I think Buffalo made a move here just to try to catch lightning in a bottle. They needed something to kind of jolt the offense. It struggled here the past few weeks. Somebody's got to be at fault. Somebody's got to be at blame. And unfortunately, the axe has come down on Ken Dorsey, and he gets replaced by Joe Brady, who, maybe about 2-3 years ago, we were talking about Joe Brady as this next great offensive mind, this guru genius along the lines of a Sean McVay. And so it didn't quite pan out. He got Matt Rhule fired down in Carolina. Now he's going to be called upon in relief to kind of save Sean McDermott.
That's interesting you say that. It's almost like a second chance for Joe Brady as well right now in that sense, because honestly, I don't think he really had an opportunity to succeed in Carolina with Matt Rhule and the quarterback situation and just everything. So, of course, Joe Brady was at LSU with Joe Burrow, right? So that's where he had the success. And as Rick stated, people were thinking of him as a brilliant offensive mind. And Ken Dorsey's offense was stagnant. It was inconsistent. It lacked tempo. It lacked urgency. It lacked pace. But with all that being stated, Josh Allen, quite frankly, like Ken Dorsey, it's not Ken Dorsey's fault if Josh Allen makes a bad decision on the field, Rick, right? It's not Ken Dorsey's fault if Josh Allen turns the ball over and throws numerous interceptions. And I don't know what it is with Josh Allen. I don't want to play psychiatrist. I'm not Fraser Crane. But he's not. Something's wrong, right? I don't know. Something's just not right with Josh Allen, and it's translating on the football field right now. Like, he seems depressed quite point blank. He's not having fun. He's normally a happy-go-lucky, fun guy, right? Yeah, I haven't seen him smile all year, bro. He was, like, nearly crying after the loss to the Jets after the first game of the year. He's not himself, Rick.
Well, I think there's a couple things there. They're dictating a little bit of how he should play, telling him not to run as much, okay? But what I've noticed over the last several years is he plays up and down to the caliber of competition. And what I mean by that, a lot of these gimme games or what we see as layups, Buffalo doesn't blow them out of the water. It's always a close game. They find ways to lose it. And at some point, Josh Allen's got to take the blame here. I mean, how many division titles have they won? What do they have to
show
for?
Three in a row.
And not for nothing. Now, you could put a little bit of blame on the GM and Bean. Where's the supporting cast?
And what about McDermott? And the accountability for McDermott, he loses a lot of close games. It's not only the quarterback, right?
No, I think there's just something hovering over this organization where they don't win the games they're supposed to.
Yeah, a black cloud, Rick. That's what's hovering. A black cloud. It has been that my way the entire life. God, I don't know why I became a fan of this team as a kid. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why? As Nancy Kerrigan stated, as you stated, though, good point. Listen, they're 5-5. They're trying to catch lightning in a bottle. The schedule's just brutal. So they get the Jets this week, and then it's like the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Chargers. And it's a great point that you raise about the Bills. Not just Josh Allen, it's a Bills thing. They play up or down. If they play a good team, they'll lose a close game. If they play a bad team, they'll win a close game. And now they're losing the close games to the bad teams, Rick. Right? That, like, now they're sort of losing these games. And I think that, listen, if this season totally unravels, McDermott's done. Even though Pegula just gave him the extension, there's not going to be a choice. But I think they're hoping that it doesn't have to come to that, Rick. But at this point, do you think the Bills make the playoffs this year? Yes or no?
Yes, I do think they make the playoffs. But they are giving teams like the New York Jets this week hope and belief that they can hang around and stay alive.
Rick Saratella kicking with us. So speaking of the New York Jets and New York Giants, the Giants, let's start off with the New York Jets. Big game for them. They're sticking with Zach Wilson. They really just don't have a choice. And they keep on saying he gives us the best chance to win. I know people are calling for Trevor Siemian, but Zach Wilson is better than Trevor Siemian, Rick. Would you agree with that?
I do agree. He's been in the system for 2 years. There's a ceiling on what Trevor Siemian brings to the table. We've seen Zach Wilson show flashes of playing potentially at a high level, and I just think there's more upside. There's more belief with Zach Wilson at the helm. And we talked about being in Buffalo. At some point, Joe Douglas, I mean, you know, you went into the year knowing that Aaron Rodgers was on the back nine, right? And you did nothing to upgrade the backup quarterback position. And now you're paying the price for that. And this was a team that was built to make a run, and they did nothing. We talk about it on this show. Quarterback, most important position on the football team. Backup quarterback, second most important position on the football team. They did nothing to upgrade that position.
And we've seen already with 10 rookies starting already, and we're not even in December yet, the importance of depth at the quarterback position. And a classic example of this, Rick, would be the Indianapolis Colts, who are 5-5 right now. And why? They had a competent and capable veteran backup quarterback that could step up after Anthony Richardson went down and Gardner Minshew.
No doubt about it. And it's the reason why guys like Joshua Dobbs are finding work in the league. I mean, this guy, say what you want. You can't kill this man. Joshua Dobbs rallies the troops. He finds a way to win. He guts it out.
This is a great story, isn't it, Rick? Like how hard it is to do what he does, what he's done. It really is a great story.
And that's where the brains come in, right? Like, this guy has that rocket engineering degree, and he can pick up a playbook. I think Kevin O'Connell was talking about, you know, I knew this guy had the ability to learn fast. He's like, I didn't want to put too much on him, but, like, overnight, this guy came in with, like, 21 plays memorized.
So the New York Giants, did you think that it could get this bad? Like, this is bad. Like, they're one of the worst teams in the history of the NFL bad, bro.
Well, the talent, I mean, where's the talent? Where's the blue chippers? Where's the foundational pieces? Where are they?
They're going to have to take a quarterback. They're going to have a very high draft pick, obviously. They took Saquon Barkley. Like, what other position player can save them? Like, if you look at this, you're not, what, are you going to take Marvin Harrison? For what? like for who? The question is Drake May worthy of being the second pick in the NFL draft?
Well, I do believe
he's
worthy.
Is he that good, Drake May? Is he that good?
Well, is it a matter of him being that good, or is it a matter of him just being the best available to you? Is
the right guy at the right place at the right time. Because NFL guys, you and I more than I about this, but NFL guys like May more than Penix. You and I have talked about Penix's delivery, his age, etc. They do love Drake May. And quite frankly, Howell looks good. Howell looks pretty good out there. And Drake May's better than Sam Howell is.
I would agree with that. I mean, Howell's been a mixed bag for me. There's been a lot of good, a lot of bad. I will say, you know, May
is on the
is
Commanders.
Another...
You got to cut him slack. He is on the Commanders, say. Sorry, go on.
Yeah.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a two-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Yeah, well, yeah, Giants Commanders, that should be a real barn burner.
Yeah. Yeah, but what if the Eagles are so good? Like, if people want Eagles. Like, yeah, if you actually analyze it, who do the Eagles get to play all the time? And look at Commanders give the Eagles all they can handle. We'll get into the Andy Reid Bowl on the other side because finally the Eagles are playing a real football team. Rick Saratella kicking it with us. This AFC playoff picture, man, it's crazy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The quickest 180 minutes in sports talk and television continues. I am Gabriel Moretzi. This is Sports Rage. We're kicking it with our main man, Rick Saratella. There's a lot of stuff to get to. We've got some massive games to get to as well. But just as far as the Giants draft situation, Rick, it's been much discussed. Daniel Jones is owed another $35 million, which isn't a lot of money by today's NFL standards, but there is a $69 million cap hit. So they're not going to, you know, eat that while he's recovering. But it seems like a perfect storm, as you were talking about, the right place at the right time, a perfect storm of Jones coming off of surgery, them having potentially one of the top three picks in a National Football League draft, and quarterbacks being there. It seems to me that the writing's on the wall that the Giants are going to take a quarterback.
No doubt. I mean, Daniel Jones became the quarterback by default because they really didn't have any other options. And there's no guaranteed money beyond 2024. So the Giants need to decide, are they comfortable with the second best quarterback in the draft? Or dare I say they move up and try to make a play for that number one overall selection, which would mean Caleb Williams. Hey, you think you're under the spotlight now. Wait until you get a load of this New York
team. Oh, God. Well, hey, Chicago's a pretty big city too, and it's pretty real. But New York is another level. And as far as Caleb Williams is concerned, we discussed him last week. Even though USC keep losing, you know what I mean, it's not his fault. You know, he's out there slinging passes. The wheels have fallen off for Lincoln Riley. And the odds have even gone up, Rick. He's minus 350 right now. You're Mr. Hot Take, so I'll throw it to you. Are you going to say that Caleb Williams will not be the number one pick in the draft?
No, I'm not willing to go there. I just think that the league will be much more divided than the actual decision makers in the NFL will be much more divided than the national media, which is just throwing bouquets Caleb Williams' way every opportunity. I do think that there's going to be legitimate concern about the maturity. And let's be honest, this guy has a magnet for attraction. Like, you know, kind of like Kyler Murray, a little bit of an enigma. Like, you know, the camera is going to have 20 close-up shots of Caleb Williams every game. And if he's not doing the right things, or he's yelling at someone, or his body language is off, he's going to continue to be under the microscope. And that's going to be an enhanced microscope in New York, which I think the Giants have to be a little bit queasy about, not only taking him, but then giving up equity to move up in the draft to take him. That'll be a gutsy call.
Now, Kyler Murray returned this week and looked amazing. And one thing you just talked about, Kyler Murray, I see where you're going with that, in a sense of a little bit of entitlement, right? When it's sort of not given, because these guys work to get to where they got to, but once you get to that spot and everybody's fawning all over you all the time, it can change you a little bit. And I understand that. And it did with Kyler Murray. Although Kyler kind of had attitude in college as well. Let's call it out for what it is. And then it was a bad attitude in the NFL, in which we all saw, Rick, we discussed it. His pouting ways, his sort of distanceness, his not my fault, right? You know, like you said, yelling at the coaches on the sideline. And the most important thing and the biggest negative thing, I thought the worst thing that he was doing, was basically sitting on the bench alone by himself all the time. Like, he'd come off, he would never talk to the line. Like, he wouldn't talk to anybody. He would sit there, throw his helmet, sit there, look angry. Even when they won, he didn't really seem to be having fun. But everybody around the Arizona Cardinal organization says he's a completely different person right now again. And remember, they even said there was the unnamed people in the room. Yeah, he's changed since he got all the money and stuff. He's got attitude now. Now you hear everybody saying he's pretty much like a coach. Guy knows the playbook. He encourages everybody. He's much more vocal than he used to be. Now, he's already gotten paid, bro. So he's going to be fine no matter what happens. But he does have to prove to people that he can still do it and do it in the future, right? So one game is, you know what I mean? That was a nice game back. But I'm of the belief that the Arizona Cardinals will keep Kyler Murray. And Kyler Murray will be the future quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals.
I would lean that way. I think they're still in the experimental phase. I don't know what you want them to say, because when you do have a personality like that, and I will say, I was at the Heisman presentation and I interviewed and spoke to Kyler Murray and came away that interview thinking, this is one of the most arrogant young men I've ever come across in my life. You know, I think there's a little bit of coddling that you have to do when it comes to Kyler Murray, and make sure that, you know, you're saying the right things publicly, because you don't want to.
I think he's been humbled, Rick, in the sense that he knows that the babying is over, bro. Like, this is real now.
Well, I want to say one thing about what you said, though. Like, more concerning was not him not talking to the teammates, but I think one of the most important statistics that isn't kept is the teammates not talking to him. Now, you want to know how much a team respects a quarterback? Go look at the sidelines after a quarterback throws an interception or costs the team a game. See what the teammates are reacting, how they're rallying around him. I think that's the telltale stat of Kyler Murray.
You're right. Kyler Murray was not the quarterback that was telling the linemen, hey, guys, let's go to my place and drink some beers after the game, right? He wasn't. He's putting his beach bike tray on and see ya, right? And see you guys later. That's the way, listen. I just think that I think he's been humbled. I think he understands. I think I think it was a learning experience for him. And I also buy in, man. I really do believe that both Steichen and Gannon are doing great jobs, especially Steichen. I mean, Gannon, whatever's rebuilding, but what the Colts are doing is unbelievable. But listen, time's flying by here. Let's talk about some of the big games that are coming up. Speaking of unbelievable, Lamar Jackson's playing elite football. The Baltimore Ravens are hot right now. They're hot, and they're hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. The AFC North is an unbelievable division. They all have winning records, but now they start to play each other. So right now it's go time, man. What do you think about these division games this week? Let's start off with the Ravens and the Browns. They'll get to the Ravens and the Bengals. They'll get to the Browns Steelers. But what do you think about the Thursday Nighter?
Yeah, well, first of all, I went. The Ravens were up by like 14 points. I went to the bathroom. I came back. They were losing by a field goal to the Browns. I don't know what happened. But, wild. You know, the Bengals. I'll tell you, it was a wild weekend. And then the Bengals lose to the Texans, which I kind of saw that coming. I wasn't surprised. But think about this, just AFC North.
Without Nico Collins and Pierce, Rick, that's what was wow. Like, it doesn't even matter who C.J. Stroud has. He just wins no matter who's on the field.
Well, hey, and that's a perfect example. Like Daniel Jones, we've been watching him 4 or 5 years, can't get nothing done. Yeah.
When you hear that, you're right, Rick, when people say, oh, he doesn't have anybody. It's like, great players make other guys better, right, Rick? That's the whole thing.
Hey, Tyson Badgett's out here trying to figure out a way to win ball games. I mean, you know, I'll tell you, though.
But Baltimore, listen, Baltimore's been playing really good football. Crazy wild loss coming off the Browns game. And the Bengals have been playing well until so they're both coming off these losses. It's a big game division-wise for these teams. Who do you like? Who do you think wins? It's 3.5-point favorites, Ravens.
Might be a playoff elimination game. I'm going to – the Ravens were my Super Bowl prediction team. I'm not going to jump off the bandwagon. I've always had a soft heart for Cincinnati, but I'm taking the Ravens at home in a smash-mouth kind of game.
All right, so we got the Steelers and the aforementioned Cleveland Browns. I bet on the Browns last week. Deshaun's getting better. Schwartz got – even though the defense, it was a high-scoring game last week, but – the Browns are a fun football team right now that are really believing. It's amazing, too, that they lose Nick Chubb. And they've had so many injuries and backup quarterbacks. And here they are right now. Big game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who I don't know how the hell the Steelers are 6-3, bro. Like, they got to be one of the worst 6-3 teams in the history of the NFL, but they're 6-3, Rick.
You know, it's like we say this every year about the Steelers. Give Tomlin.
You're right. Remember? You're right. Sorry, I was going to say that. Poor bastard, you're right. When they were like 11-0 or something a few years ago with Rod, people were like, they suck. They're terrible. They're 11-0 or whatever. You're right. People, doesn't matter what their record are, people are like, no, they're not good.
I will say, though, say what you want about Mike Tomlin. This guy gets more done with less talent than anybody around the National Football League. I mean, this guy is overachieved. I know he won a Super Bowl with Bill Cowher's team, but there's something
and
to be said.
T.J. Watt, right, Rick? This guy's a winner, bro. T.J. Watt. Like,
yeah, most sacks, I think, quickest to 100 sacks or something like that to start a career. And he's really picked up where his brother left off. Like, I didn't see him being the elite pass rusher in the entire league coming out, and he's really elevated his game.
So you're picking the Ravens to win that game. They're 3.5-point favorites for the record. I think it could be close.
I like the Ravens
too.
To win. And
what about the Browns
and
the Steelers game?
I think Watson's starting to heat up. I like Cleveland. They're coming on at the right time. I think the Browns are a team. Good offensive line. Good team. That's going to be a tough out in the playoffs. Nobody's going to want to play the Cleveland Browns. That's a funny statement to say come playoff time.
I know. You're right, though. It's true. It's like, no, you don't want to play the Detroit Lions. What? Cleveland Browns, Detroit Lions, Super Bowl. Say what? Listen, we've got less than a minute left here. We got the Reed Bowl, the Chiefs and the Eagles on Monday night. And the Grey Cup Championship game, bro. Zach Calero's gunning for another Grey Cup championship, taking on former Nevada Wolfpack quarterback Cody Fajardo. Hell of a run for the Montreal Alouettes, bro.
Wow, what a game. I never saw a suffocating defense like I did last week with the Montreal Alouettes. And
that was
a fun game
watching that. The special teams and nasty defense, they murdered Chad Kelly.
Chad Kelly was shell-shocked, and I'm interested to see how he bounces back next year mentally from that performance, because he looked like he was in a daze and confused state of mind. And I know we're not going to have time to talk about the Chiefs and the Eagles. That's going to be a good one. But
what's your pick, Chiefs Eagle? Who's wins?
I think the Eagles are going to take it at home, and I think Montreal's riding a magic carpet ride. I think it's going to be one of the most exciting Grey Cups. Tune in.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Straight fire. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morency. Shout out to our guy, Rick Saratella. Awesome stuff with Rick. As always, we could tell you that the San Jose Sharks have just scored a goal. And remember what I said about 20 minutes ago. I said, man, Sharks are only down by one goal. I know they're the San Jose Sharks, but they're down by one goal and they're like plus 470. Kind of seems like, wow, you get crazy numbers. And the Sharks aren't terrible anymore. They were terrible. They gave up 10 goals in consecutive games and people flipped out and whatever. They took them 12 games to win a game. But They've been competitive over the last week and a half, and they've really been much better defensively. I didn't take the money line. I was like, wow, that's pretty good. And I should have, considering we jumped in on the Kansas Jayhawks when they were down by 10 tonight and got them at plus 220. I should have just kept the money line train going and jumped on the Sharks. They haven't won the game yet. But we're on under 6.5. That was our pick before this game started, under 6.5. And when I looked at that money line, I was like, wow, the Sharks are plus 2.5 goals. They're losing 2-1 after two periods, and they're plus 2.5 goals. Have to take it. We did take it. They just tied the game. It's 2-2 right now with 13 minutes left in the hockey game. So we're on under 6.5. We're on the Sharks plus 2.5. The Minnesota Timberwolves have defeated the Golden State Warriors. And it was a close game. And it was a weird game, right? The T-Wolves were 3-point favorites coming into the basketball game because Steph Curry wasn't playing. And it should be noted it was one of these in-season tournament games. Not that anybody notices unless there's the court. I'll give the NBA credit for that. It was actually a good idea to create special courts for the in-season tournament. Otherwise, how would people know? People don't know or care like right now, right? And then the players don't know or care until they show up and they're given, you know, they see the floor or their jersey that they're wearing for that, whatever. So it was 104-101 final score, but Draymond Green got kicked out of the game. Klay Thompson. So, yeah, you know, Draymond got kicked out of a game. No surprise. I got to tell you, before we get to this, there's a lot of stuff I want to get to, but as far as the NBA was concerned tonight, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like, if it's the sort of weather where it's dark all the time. You know what I mean? Like, NBA players, it's a great life and stuff, but it's also, they don't see the light of day a lot. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if it's like an anger thing or like what has started to click a little bit or change in the NBA. But, you know, NBA junkies will know what I'm talking about. Like tonight, man, there was a lot of like fights and pushing and a lot of attitude on the court tonight. Like people, there's a misconception with the NBA in which with load management, a lot of casual fans think that the players don't care. Which, that couldn't be further from the truth. It's actually super competitive and, as you see, very physical, right? It's, you know what I mean? They do care, but load management is just, you know, it's sort of cast a shadow over the league. Although it's been better, it's still early this year, but they've been better at it, obviously. But, so, you know, like Desmond Bane and AD got into it tonight. The Golden State Warriors and the T-Wolves, that was like a near real brawl for real. Draymond Green jumped on Rudy Gobert from behind and put him in like a chokehold from behind. Number one, Rudy Gobert really wasn't even doing anything, right? Daniels and Klay Thompson got into it basically at center court, right? So they were jostling all the way up the floor, Jaden Daniels and Klay Thompson. Whatever, Daniels was in his face, and Thompson didn't like it, and Thompson sort of pushed him and grabbed his jersey, and then Daniels really grabbed Thompson's jersey and did the old, you know, sort of spin job, you know what I'm saying? Wow, the San Jose Sharks just scored again. 3-2. Wow. Well, we're on under 6.5. I'm actually, it's a good thing that we, took the 2.5. Otherwise, I'd be panicking right now because Florida scores and we're done. So, you know, so the T-Wolves, they had an advantage in this basketball game with Curry being out to begin with. But then they all got ejected. Everybody got ejected. So, Gobert didn't get ejected because he didn't do anything. So, you know, Draymond and Gobert have gotten into it in the past. Draymond Green's just a hard dude to like. And I know Draymond, you know how Draymond operates. He's going to be boasting after, and he's probably going to call Rudy Gobert out and say, see, you didn't do anything and stuff. What do you want to do, get suspended? You jumped on his back. You jumped on his back and put him in a chokehold and sort of took him down in a melee when he was trying to break up, like, and calm things down. It wasn't like, oh, Rudy Gobert is starting to push people around and stuff. Right, so it was funny too. I was watching, we have the game on and stuff, And during the breaks, you know, I'm turning the sound up a bit and I'm hearing things. And the Golden State Warriors crew, they were praising the Warriors for their effort and like how heroic it was. Like, really? They're idiots. Like, Draymond, they should be calling out Draymond Green and Klay Thompson for costing them a game that they probably would have won. As you saw, the T-Wolves had a hard time winning the game without everybody on the floor. So that's two in a row right now in this in-season tournament for the Minnesota Timberwolves right now. They win 104-101. Victor Wembanyama, I wanted to get to this for bettors. Victor Wembanyama, the player prop, point prop for Victor Wembanyama is dangerous. He's going to go off sometimes, you know, and drop 29 or whatever, and he's going to have a big night. But the problem is his team is really bad. So it's, you know, the games are weird. You get these weird scores. And another thing is Popovich is weird with his time management. So, and I caught on, and it's funny because I told everybody this before for people to pay attention. I'm actually a degenerate, right? So for real, in the sense that I bet on the French Basketball League. And I'm a basketball junkie. So I'm not like, you know, there's some people that are NBA fans, you know, all right, I get it. But I'm a basketball fan. Like, I love the World Cup of Basketball. I love, you know what I mean, like, Australian Basketball League. So I watch and bet on a lot of these leagues. And I've known about Wembanyama for years. So it was basically, well, if this kid is some massive phenom, he's going to take the basketball world over, why wouldn't I start betting on his French basketball teams? And the books were pretty hardcore, actually. Like, books that I were, well, you know, a book I was betting at had player prop for Wembanyama for the last 2 years in the French league. And I caught on in the French league that his, like, they used to make it like 22.5, 23.5, 24.5 in that range, his point prop. And the rebound prop was like 13.5 in France, in the French league. And I caught on. I was like, all right, let's see. And I'm watching the games and stuff. And don't forget, he is a kid, right? I mean, he's only 19 now. So he is a kid still. So he was like 17, 18 playing with men in France. And where I'm going with this is people don't pass him the ball. Like, watch a Spurs game. I know, like, you know, they're on TV more now because of him. But if you haven't really watched many Spurs games and you see, you know, his box score and you're like, well, how come he only scored 8 points or this and that? He doesn't have too many games like tonight. He started off hot. He hit the wall. He gets in foul trouble sometimes. He was frustrated tonight. He didn't think he was getting calls. He gets treated like a rookie. He's not getting any star treatment out there. But watch a Spurs game, and oftentimes you'll see, and it's like, dude, this kid is like the future of basketball. You're a scrub that's going to be replaced in 2 years, and you're only here while they're trying to stockpile picks and get more players to get in here to play with him. Pass him the ball. Like, I swear, there's numerous times you'll see that they don't pass him the ball, which I understand. Everybody's got to get their shot, and everyone plays for himself and this and that. But I think, you know, he could be more involved offensively. A lot of his points come off of, like, rebounds and putbacks. They don't get him the ball enough, I find, from an offensive standpoint. It's still super early. But from a betting standpoint, so now they make his prop like 19.5, 17.5, 19.5, 18.5. It's 18.5, 19.5 type of deal mostly. And he goes under more than he goes over. Damn, the Panthers just scored. So there goes the total, but we're going to hit the 2.5. So it's 3-3 in a hockey game. So they've settled in right now at 9.5 rebounds for him. Tonight it was plus 100. The other night it was 9.5, minus 120. I don't know why it was plus 100 tonight. But whatever, it was 9.5 rebounds again. He finished with 14 rebounds. The dude is like 7'5", right? 7'6 with shoes, whatever. He's going to get rebounds. You know, the problem, he would have had more rebounds, but Oklahoma City nearly hit every damn shot that they took. And speaking of which, SGA, just unbelievable, as SGA had his fifth straight game with 25 or more points on 55% field goal shooting percentage. That's the longest streak in Thunder franchise history. Think about it. That's pretty good shooters on their team, right? Kevin Durant, James Harden. And he also set a career high with 7 steals in the game tonight. Super impressive performance for SGA, but we got to get to Tyrese Halliburton. The level of basketball that Halliburton is playing And it kind of, you know, kind of goes unnoticed a little bit because he's in Indiana and he's on the Pacers. But one thing about the Pacers, guys, they're now 10-1 to the over. Hey, listen, man, I'm just trying to, you know, I'm trying to educate people here moving forward. If you joined, if you were on the grid, and it's smarter to be on the grid, if you're on the grid earlier today, I was on with Mike Carver today on Coast to Coast. I'm on every day at 3:25 Eastern, 12:25 Pacific. And he said, what do you like in the NBA tonight? And I said, well, let's start off with the fact that the Pacers are 9-1 to the over on the season. Let's start off with that. Now 10-1 to the over. But how about this? Tyrese Haliburton, 33 points, 15 assists, 0 turnovers. That's right, 0 turnovers. Now, this is what's insane. He had 25 points and 17 assists and 0 turnovers on Sunday against the Sixers as well. He's the first player with 25 points, 15 assists, and 0 turnovers in consecutive games since individual turnovers began to be first tracked in 1977. Like, this guy is just did something that hasn't been done since, you know what I mean? I don't know, maybe, you know, Wilt Chamberlain's done everything and everybody. But I digress. But seriously, like, no turnovers. 33 points, 15 assists, and no turnovers. So you're telling me in his last two games, this guy, he has 58 points, 32 assists, and 0 turnovers. That's Halliburton's game line for the last two games. Incredible stuff. And I'd say the Pacers are a lot of fun. There's a lot of teams that have good players and young players and, you know, oh, they're building and it never works. Like, you know, like, and they just spin their wheels forever. The Pacers, this unit, if you watch them and you watch them last year carrying over to this year, they genuinely have a good chemistry. You know what I'm saying? Like, when somebody hits a shot, everybody else is happy. Somebody hits a game-winning shot, it's not like, well, I didn't get the ball. Like, they genuinely get along. Halliburton's a great leader. Mathurin is still developing, good young player. You know, they just have a bunch of young guys that have known each other, played at school, or, you know, like Nembhard and Mathurin know each other. And I just mushed this. I said, well, we're good with the 2.5 and the goals. The Florida Panthers can't stop scoring. It's been an onslaught. It's 5-3. They've literally just scored 3 goals in like the last 3 minutes. I'm drowning with the Sharks.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Upset alert. Upset alert. And just for the record, as far as the goal is concerned, San Jose are claiming that it was offside. I hope they win this challenge. I see there just quickly. I want to see this replay. They've shown it 50 million times, and I still don't know. I think it's offside. I think the puck came out of the zone, but we're going to see what they say here. It was just been a long, long, long decision. No goal. Yeah, good call. You could see the puck just briefly cross the line, and he threw it back in. You could just sort of... We've already lost the total of 6.5, but we got the plus 2.5. And we would have been screwed if it was 5-3. 4-3, we got a puncher's chance of getting out of this. There's 8:17 left. The Florida Panthers are up 4-3. Upset alert right now. Upset alert. The Anteaters are eating people's money, man. All right? They're eating the USC Trojans up right now, too. 61-56 for Irvine. There's under 4 minutes remaining in the basketball game. The Trojans are down 5. The Trojans close as 11.5-point favorites in this game. This game is playing to the under right now. The total was like, what, 147, 148? And it's currently 136.5 with 3.5 minutes left. USC have the ball, and they're down 5, 61-56. It was a great night of college basketball. Kansas rallied back, a wild game, high-scoring game, and USC just scored, so we got a 3-point game with 3 minutes left, 61-58. 61-58. Man, what a fast show tonight. Thanks to all of our guests for joining us. Once again, our condolences to the Seidler family. Just, you know, sad news. You know what I mean? Just sad news. Passionate man about the city and a passionate man about the game. The Aztecs win 77-68. 77-68. Florida nearly just scored again right now. Shout out to our boy Pat Foster for kicking it with us tonight. Too many games going on the late night hours. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.